Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
October the 9th, that's right. It is the 9th day on October the 9th, 2023. And boy, do we have a show for you. We always have a show for you every week. I want to say a shout out to my sister Vera, who came back from a wonderful trip to Rome. You know, I mean, wow, out there in Rome is, wow, that's the other side of the world. So I'm glad that she had a wonderful trip and she made it back. I want to send a shout-out to all of the co-producers and co-hosts of the show. I want to send a shout-out to all the listeners that are coming on Instagram. We are on Instagram at Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram. And we're on Instagram. That's right, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram. And then we're on Facebook Live, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. And then if you want to call into the show and make a comment or listen in, you dial 646- 787-8064 646 787-8064. Hey, good morning. Good morning, First Lady Felita Wiltz. God bless you and Pastor Charles. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about some serious stuff, but before we do, I always come on with the news, and then I get some comments from, you know, our co-producers and from you, the listeners, from you who are the people, and I know that this doesn't fall on deaf ears. Something happened over the weekend, a couple of weekends ago, and it's been bothering me ever since. There's a young lady, 31 years old, African-American, very beautiful young lady. Orlando police say that 31-year-old Yolena Lubrin, her body was found at a home near the intersection of West Livingston Street and Westmoreland Drive. Officers say they found her hanging from a tree in Orlando, Florida. This took place on September the 28th. Family is saying that they want answers after a woman found dead hanging from a tree in Paramore community. She was nowhere near her home. She was partially clothed. She barely had on any clothes at all. A family is calling on the Orlando Police Department to look further into the case after their loved one was found dead hanging from a tree at home in the Paramore community in Orlando, Florida. I am livid. Orlando police say 31-year-old Yolena Lubrin's body was found at a home near the intersection of West Livingston Street and Westmoreland. Officers say they found her hanging from a tree in the backyard of the home. They say they tried saving her, but she died on the scene. Police say while her cause of death is still being investigated, Lubrin documented history of mental illness, witness statements say. Cell phone communication and the physical evidence observed during the autopsy. Now, they're saying every time, you know, I worked on a case, John Thomas Horton III, years ago, and they said that he hung himself inside of a cell. Well, they found out later that he didn't hang himself inside of the cell, that he was beat profusely by the sheriff's department, and they hung him. There's no way he could have hung himself. And there's no way that she could have hung herself. I mean, there's a way, but come on now. A 31-year-old, young, wonderful, attractive queen that had everything in the world to live for, to all of a sudden just commit suicide like that? Unacceptable. Orlando Police Department in Orlando, Florida, get to work. You have a lot of work to do. Get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And this is why... Oh, hey, there's Felita Wiltz. I see you on Instagram, too. Praise God. This is why there's such tension in the United States right now, all over the United States, because we have a recession coming. We have a depression going on, whether we believe it or not. And we have racism on an all-time high. These are things that we need to put to sleep, put to bed. We need to bury them and leave them alone. You know, I'm just really upset about that. If you want to listen online, you go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. And on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S. And I'm just looking at the young lady, and I'm going to see if I can get you to see a picture of her a little bit later. She is just... That could be my daughter, okay? That could be your daughter, your niece, your cousin, or your friend. And somebody knows what really happened. I don't believe that this young, wonderful, hard-working woman just decided to all of a sudden hang herself. They always say, oh, it's suicide. No, it's not suicide. I don't think it's suicide at all. That's my opinion. With that being said, I want to get some of our co-producers and co-hosts in the studio right now. So let's start off with none other than my sister, Vera Jones, who does health and wellness, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V. Good morning, Vera. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie, to the co-host and all the listeners, and especially the new listeners. I am doing wonderful.
Thank you so very much, and I'm so glad. How was your trip to Rome?
Eddie, it was fabulous. Fabulous, I'm just telling you.
Well, you know, in Rome and in Italy, they eat pasta and good, you know, how was the food?
Excellent. Yes, I did have my share of it all, and the olive oil, and some great entertainment, too. There was a guy playing at one of the Italian restaurants, and he saw a group of us, 16, walk in, and he asked me, do you like R&B? And I said, yes, and he played it all. So I was amazed.
Oh, that's really nice. I'm so happy to hear that, Vera. We're going to come right back to you in a minute. Just don't go anywhere. Without further ado, let's say good morning to Brother Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer. Good morning, Clarence M. Allen. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning, Granny V. Good morning to all the talents who are coming on. Good morning to all our wonderful listeners and followers. Once again, we as Pastor Eddie has turned the ignition key. He is letting the limousine engine buckle in because we are on a show this morning, the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio show. Thank you for having me again, Pastor Eddie.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence, for joining us. And without further ado, we have a real professor on our show, none other than our co-producer. Clarence M. Allen does Regulate the Manual and The Haunted Soul, brother. And those are the books that he's written. But we have a real professor who does the commentary on our show, and he's an amazing professor, none other than Professor Reams. Welcome to the show, Professor Reams. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones, and good morning to Dr. Granny V, and good morning to the regulator. Good morning to our listeners, and welcome to the best Blog Talk Radio program on Mondays, where we get a chance to talk about the topics and issues that start your weeks off properly while reminding you of the grace of God and how he's blessing us always in these trying times. So with that, good morning, Owen and Pastor Jones. Did you get my text? Because I wanted to remind you of something. I'm
Good morning, Professor Reams.
Good morning, Professor Reams.
Yeah, I will check that text in just a moment.
Perfect. All right. And good morning, everyone. Yes.
Good morning. And without further ado, we have Words of Wisdom with Talana Jones. And Talana Jones, good morning, co-producer. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dad, and good morning to my butterfly, Dr. Granny V, a.k.a. Auntie, and good morning to Clarence and Mallon, our regulator. Good morning to our professor. Good morning, Lester. I love you. I just wanted to say God bless everybody. Happy Monday, and good morning again.
Amen,
good
amen.
Morning.
Good morning, Talana Jones.
Well,
good morning, Talana.
I definitely want to get some opinions on this news that I just shared just a few moments ago. I would love to show you this picture of her. You can look her up. Her name is Yolina Lubrin, L-U-B-R-I-N-S. Her last name is Lubrin, L-U-B-R-I-N. First name, Yolina. She was 31 years old. She had everything in the world to live for, everything in the world to live for. And as I look at her face here, I'm choked up. The family wants answers. She was found dead hanging from a tree in Orlando, Florida, in the Paramore community. They say that she hung herself. And I got to tell you, the human body, it wants to live. The human body does not want to die. That's not its job. It'll fight for itself because it doesn't want to go. Okay? I know we've talked about suicide on our show many times. We talked about mental health on our show many times. We even have Okay. And we even have Aretha Adams Jones, who does a segment on our show called Mental Health in You. They're saying every time an African American person comes up hung or whatever, they say it's suicide. It's they committed suicide. I am in disagreement with that. And I'm going to start off with Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. What do you think about 31-year-old Yolena in Orlando, Florida, found hung in the backyard across town from her home? She was across town someplace else. Go right ahead.
Yes, Pastor Eddie, and to all our listeners out there, this here is, you know, it would seem to be unbelievable to, you know, hear, live, and even witness during these times in our nation. But I'll tell you, Florida is like the tip of the spear here with racism and discrimination, starting from the governor, you know, on down, you know, in that state. And to find such a beautiful young lady in such a deadly, terrible situation, you know, I was looking at some of the things with this story, and it's just unbelievable. You know, I want to read some of this. Let's see, this is from USA Today. Let's see if I can find this. Where her sister was saying where some of the things where the police fail at. You know, they want to call this, first of all, a suicide. There was a man who took the video that lives with another man in an efficiency unit behind the house where her nickname is Yo-Yo, where she was found. They were leaving for work when they saw the body and did not call 911. They did not call the police that day at all. By the time her sister named Naomi arrived at the scene from her home in Fort Lauderdale, a few hours after police reported arriving from the scene, they had already packed up and left. We would imagine there would be police taped there for hours. There'd be detectives there looking around, going to the house that seen. They would follow up with those guys that took that picture. Were they white? It doesn't say what the ethnic group was. By the police told her sister that they did not search inside either of the homes because they did not have probable cause. Well, there's a dead body. Is that there's a murder? Even if it is a suicide, is that also a probable cause? Yes, it is. Text from this, her nickname, they called her Yo-Yo, the night before shows she was with someone she described as creepy. So I don't know whether she knew this person or not, but she didn't feel safe with the person from this phone call. And witness told her sister that they heard a woman making a lot of noise that night. And so when you factor in all this that I just have read, you know, there should have been a lot more investigation. You know, in the article it says the police cut her down and did life-saving remedies, but she was pronounced dead at the scene. And 3 years ago, there was another young man, black man, found dead in Florida, also reported as a suicide by law enforcement, or I call them unlawful enforcement, because with some of these people who wear this badge, they put their own agenda behind that badge to condone what they want to do. You know, we have seen after slavery that the slave catchers became police to keep us in order with the black codes and all these other laws that was induced into the laws of this land to keep us on those slave plantations and to work for free. So, you know, that's even in the Constitution, I believe, under the 14th Amendment. So, Pastor Eddie, and to all our listeners and panelists, here we go again. We need to shine more than a light on this. We need to get many of our civil rights organizations involved, many of our civil rights attorneys involved. We need to get the federal government involved, and we need to get involved in this case and find out what exactly happened to this young lady.
Yeah, I agree. Man, I agree.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Clarence. Well said. Well said. It's just, man, I don't know what to say. You can just, thank you, Brother Clarence. We say we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, yeah, sick and tired of being sick and tired of hearing and seeing these type of activities. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. We're going to leave that right there. I'm going to go to none other than Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V. I want to get your opinion on Yolena, 31 years old, found hung in the backyard. And people saw her hung. Neighbors witnessed it and videotaped it, and they didn't call the 911 or call the police. Anyway, go right ahead, Vera. Please take the floor. Give us your opinion.
Eddie, I'm saddened to hear about this foul play that is still going on. And as Marvin Gaye would say, what's going on? And as you play every single week on the show, what is going on?
Amen. Wow, praise God. Thank you so much, Vera, for that statement that you just made. I want to go down to none other than Talana Jones. Talana Jones, take the floor. This young lady could have been my daughter, my niece, my cousin. That's somebody's family. That's all of our family in some kind of way. How do you feel about 31-year-old Yolena being found hung? And they say the night before she was with some guy who was a creepy guy. We don't know who this creepy guy is, but they sure did hurry up and clean it up and get everybody out of there. Didn't even go in the homes and investigate in the homes that were surrounding the home where they found her behind it. They didn't even go in there. So go ahead, Talana, take the floor. What's your opinion on this?
Well, I have to agree so far with the panel, and also that with you, there's a lot of unanswered questions that need to be answered. I do agree that there needs to be some deeper investigation, and if it was cleaned up, that means that there's something behind it that the community shouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to pray for that entire family and for the young lady who lost her life. And I pray for all the officials, whoever is involved. You reap what you sow. And it's not fair to lose someone so young, and it's a lot of life that she had to live, and I just believe that there's a lot of answers that she deserves. So I hope that justice be served.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. And with that being said, I want to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us your take on what happened to Yolena. 31 years old, found hung in the back of somebody else's house, miles away from her own house. And to top it off, two of the male neighbors who were on their way to work videotaped it, saw her, and did not call 911. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. What do you think about this foul play?
Well, once again, I agree with the panel. This is an unfortunate situation, but unfortunately, we're dealing with Florida, Orlando, and how it's had, even with the case of the other young man, as its history, especially it was the very last state to get rid of slavery and has been holding on to it up and down, depending on where you're living in. So with the Orlando situation, I hope Ben Crump gets involved with this, because he was the one who had prosecuted for the prior case that happened. And it's going to be interesting, because now it was a Nevin Baker case of his death, and Ben Crump was a part of it. But it's going to be interesting because, see, you have the folks who are just taking the pictures and didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And you have and you also have the neighbors, and you have all this other stuff in general. So my curiosity is on when they start the real investigation, it's definitely, and it's probably going to have to be an independent investigation if you can't trust the police, of who's who and what was involved, and just leading up to the days before the murder occurred, or the hanging, or the suicide, or whatever you want to call it, in order for us to have clear picture on what occurred. So as everyone has mentioned, we need to continue to monitor this as just another incident of potential, on the one hand, possible suicide, but on the other hand, possible hate crime overall, because it just seems to be popping up too frequently, especially in Orlando and some of the areas overall, since they've indicated that they're having dealings with gaps between races and all these other things in general. So this will be interesting, and very interesting, I would say this for the final time, of just what, as Talon mentioned, what is really going on, because there have been incidents, and, you know, even with Hal Sharpton, where the corruption and things that are going on at people's jobs has led to at least one lady almost being harmed by a former spouse because of the power structure. So when we dig deep, let's see whether this young lady, who, you know, could be one of our daughters, was involved not in a bad way, but in a situation where she was doing her job and they wanted to silence her in that sense. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
For the life and legacy of this young lady, I'm upset. The life and the legacy of young 31-year-old Yelena Lubrin deserves an applaud. I want to applaud her. Rather than do a moment of silence, let's do give her an applaud. We want to celebrate her life. I can't wait till the hopefully the attorney Crump will get involved in this unbelievable situation. One more piece of news before we go into our regular segment, which our topics are going to be hotter than the 4th of July. They're going to be higher than the mountains, swifter than the rivers, and deeper than the ocean. We've got some serious topics today, very serious, and they're civil rights issues. Matter of fact, racism is a civil rights issue. It is, and it has been. And I just, you know, as much as we wanted to stop, over the weekend on October the 8th, because today's October the 9th, 2,400 people were killed in Afghanistan from an earthquake, a 6.3 earthquake, and they're still finding bodies. And if you know the infrastructure in Afghanistan, it's not as good. They live in stone homes, so imagine what it looks like there right now. I just want you to hear just a little bit of this.
More than 2,400 people were killed in earthquakes in Afghanistan, the Taliban administration said on Sunday, while 2,000 more have been injured in the deadliest tremors to rock the mountainous country in years. The Saturday quakes hit the west of the country, with one reaching a 6.3 magnitude, according to the U.S. Geological Survey.
So I just wanted you to hear that over 2,400 people are dead, and they're still, we don't have the whole number. I mean, they're still finding bodies and trying to clean up and save the babies and get blood plasma and food, and they got kids sleeping outside on the ground because they're afraid to go inside the structures because they're still having tremors. So we want to keep them in prayer. We want to keep, earthquakes are everywhere, and we're living in some very diverse times right now, and times are just really tough around the world, as you can see, not just in America, but there's something going on everywhere. So my heart goes out to the people of Afghanistan, and I just pray for them. And as we get ready to go into our first topic, I'm just going to, you know, I get a little choked up when I do these. Sometimes I get choked up because it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, there's no smoking guns on our show. It's the real deal Holyfield. And that's what we tell you, the real deal Holyfield. We give it to you uncut and real, okay? Our first topic on the show today is going to be an interesting topic. How big is the water crisis in America? Will we fight and pick and choose who gets water and who does not get water? I'm going to give you the topic one more time. And think about this, because there's a, a water crisis right now. How big is the water crisis in America? Will we fight and pick and choose who gets water and who does not? That's our first topic. So think about it. If you want to go look it up real quick, you can see for yourself. And we're talking about in the United States of America. We're not talking about in California. We're talking about the United States of America. There are 40 states out of 50 states in America are going through a water crisis right now, including Flint, Michigan. They never did get their water right. With that being said, I want to share something with you right now. Just want to read something to you. The widespread and unjust drinking water and clean water crisis in the United States found that nearly 500,000 U.S. households lack complete plumbing, while many more were living in communities with unclean water. This is as of February 2023. And now, moving up to date, they're bringing back the water crisis. Now, okay, say for instance you have a lot of salt water. If you mix fresh water with salt water, you can't drink it. You got to get the salt off the water. So you can have all the water in the salt and sea or wherever and still not have enough drinking water. There's a difference. And this is why I feel like the farmers are, they're killing the cows, they're doing this, they're doing that. There's something behind all this. There's something going on that is completely out of our control. Are we knowledgeable of all the different things that are taking place with the water shortage? No, we're not. We're normally told at the beginning, or I'm sorry, in the midway crisis, how serious it really is. Just like when the COVID came, I mean, they didn't tell you how serious it was. At first they said, well, you little COVID, this, that, and the other. But then come to find out, it was out of control. And then they use emergency pricks that they got from the disease, whatever, the disease place is supposed to be on top of every disease in the whole world. How could a disease of that magnitude get out? We'll never know. But how does the water become short in 40 states of 50 states, 51 states in the United States of America? I don't know, but I'm telling you what it says right here. What, you know, people go, hey, well, what is a water crisis? A water crisis is a serious situation, because if you can't get water, let's take Hurricane Katrina, for instance. People were fighting over water. People were killing for water. They were actually inside the dome there. I went there to work. I worked at Hurricane Katrina with Stevie Wonder's Caravan of Love. And we did security, and we passed out the EBT cards. We passed out food. We passed out blankets and teddy bears to the kids. And when I saw the inside of that dome, man, it was terrible what I saw with my own eyes. Even when I went to the marina and saw cars stacked up on top of each other, it was unbelievable. But I'll tell you what, a water crisis might seem unbelievable, but the reality of it is it's approaching us quickly and on an all-time high right now as we speak, and which takes me directly to our professor, Professor Reams, on this water crisis. Without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. What's going on with the water crisis? Let me read the subject one more, the topic. How big is the water crisis in America? Will we fight and pick and choose who gets water and who does not get water? Go right ahead, Professor.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. Now, let's be quite honest about how water works in this situation. To answer the question is yes, we are in a water crisis, but it's also going back to climate change. What has happened in the last 100 years, as the air has warmed up, a lot of the water that would normally rain down on the continent has been evaporating, and that is as a result of the warmer climate. So it means that a lot of the fresh water is still in the air, but not being turned into water, so it comes down to the soil. Now, we also have a distinct of two different types of water crisis. One is the water crisis that's due to a lack of water or low levels of water, which is happening in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the abundant water crisis, where, as you've mentioned, the eastern coast areas have lots of water, but they don't have strong water infrastructures.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's a flood, then you have many of these aqueducts and structures that have been built up back 80 years ago, and there has been poor maintenance on these structures because some of the states felt it was too expensive to keep up the structure or do a little patching here and there, but not a full infrastructure project because of the expense overall. That means that the pipes get rusted. We call those aqueducts. All the little aqueducts that are there have not been addressed, and that a lot of the water that we do receive in the household, it's lost through leakage and poor structure. So when you have a hurricane and you have them build up a barrier or so against the water coming in, you didn't make sure that the sewer lines and or the pipes or the aqueduct was properly structured, or the reservoir which would have captured some of the water was put there. So then it all goes back into the ocean, causing the crisis. And so as you saw with the Mississippi water crisis, they could have fixed that a long time ago by having good structure, but they chose not to, and it resulted in every week bottled water being given to those folks to make up the difference because they could have fixed this structure. So the question is it a water crisis or is it a water access crisis? Because climate change only does so much to dry things up. But we still have existing water, which is why it kind of slides into your next topic, dealing with Joe Biden, why we had to build the infrastructure to repair all the old bridges, all the old dams, all the old reservoirs, all the old pipes, every single thing that was neglected. So we're suffering from the neglect, each of the states. Now, of course, California and some of the blue states are still trying to make sure to have infrastructure projects going on all the time because of the nature of just trying to have access for everyone. But still, each state controls how they're going to manage their water because each state have their own reservoirs. They have their own rivers. They also have, on the East Coast, it's rain. On the West Coast, we have mountains and snow. So if we're not being good stewards of how we move water from one place to another through an aqueduct, and we are using it as a way of controlling people in some way, shape, or form, then it's more of a crisis of spirit and structure that is causing the problem. The water's not going anywhere. It's here. We even have the technology to do desalinization of seawater. So it turns seawater into fresh water. We also have, just like in Star Wars, moisture evaporators that can pull water out of the air and make it into drinkable water. But do we have the political will of our own bias and our own hate and our own greed and our own disrespect for the human spirit to make sure that everyone has access to drinkable water? That is part of the human crisis that we're having with the water crisis, which is person-made. So
wow.
I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you so much, Professor Rain. Thank you very much, Professor Rain. That was a wonderful answer to that very important question. Our topic right now is how big is the water crisis in America? Will we fight and pick and choose who gets water and who does not? With that being said, I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. What do you think about the water crisis? And give us your opinion. Go right ahead.
Yes, Eddie, I feel there is a crisis here, and we have so many people. Just imagine the next 20 years, 30 years. But what some things that we could do at this time is when it rains, I collect rainwater. The plants and the lawn really adore it. And then if we need to, if there is a crisis and we really need to drink the hydrant water, as we all, most of us know that, you know, there are parasites and different germs, so we should boil it and we can bottle it away and label it. And make sure that you add a pinch of salt in it. And today, as it is Indigenous Peoples Day, and, well, also Columbus Day. So this is a great topic for today, Eddie.
Well, thank you so much, Vera. Thank you very much.
Dr. Johnny V.
With that being said, you know, water is so important. We need our water. And I don't know about you, but, you know, you got to have several cases of water, even in your garage. If an earthquake or a crisis comes up and you don't have enough water at your home, you should at least have enough water to last you 2 months, at least. And wait a minute, that's not always easy, because now you have to, you know, do certain things, and it's not always easy, because you got to bathe with the water, you got to drink the water, you got to cook with the water, you might even have to wash your clothes with the water. So make sure you have plenty of water. With that being said, I want to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, take the floor. Tell us about how you feel about how big is the water crisis in America. Will we fight and pick and choose who gets water and who does not? Go right ahead, Talana. Take the floor.
Well, from listening to Professor Rings, water access sounds like what it is we have an issue with. And some of the water in California has been recycled, so it does make sense. Salt water on natural water. For instance, keeping a certain pH balance in our own body is normal. And without that, your body, like, it suffers and dehydrates. So if we don't have water to survive and have, that's going to be very bad. And so the access of people who control the temperament of the water and even the water climate, like Professor Rame said, there are certain things that go into what all of that plays into our excess of water. And I just feel like it is a very low percentage of who, if you're middle to lower class, the water is very salty, or that you're told never to drink tap water anymore. Like, once upon a time, tap water was even alkalized. So now there's no pH balance in tap water, which is, or it's a very, very low if it is one. So now focus on only not just keeping bottled water. I would even say invest in getting a pH alkalized system to keep your water pH balanced, so you don't have to worry about keeping bottled water.
Well, thank you, Swan. That was a good answer. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great job.
Now, oh, yeah, by the way, Professor Rains, please, I can't see my text, so text Brother Clarence, and Brother Clarence, could you put it on the screen, whatever Professor Rains texts to you, can you put it on the Facebook live screen so I can see what it says? Thank you so much.
I'll do that.
But at this time, without further ado, it is time to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor, regulator. What's going on? How big is the water crisis in America? Will we fight and pick and choose who gets water and who does not? Go right ahead.
What you just said, Pastor Eddie, is all validation to this subject matter topic. You know, first I want to say that I don't believe that this planet in the thousands of years or millions of years in its existence has lost an ounce of water. But it goes into what all of our panelists have stated, that where there's water being produced from the sky, where lack of water is not produced from the sky to resaturate the ground of that part of the world or nation, we need dams and aqueducts and all these things that we were, I mean, very well educated by Professor Rings. I was in class. I had to move to the front of the class because he very well described this total operating system on how we get and where this water goes. But the one thing that I want to mention about this is there are times when man has put his hand into what the quality of water is going to certain areas in our cities and communities. You know, right. I remember as a kid we used to have water that we thought was so safe, we run and play and then go find a water hose and drink it out of the water hose. Then here comes this bottled water because we were influenced to believe through the media that some of our drinking water is not as safe as it was. And mm-hmm. so now we have this water bottle. And then when you look at Mississippi and when you mention Flint, Michigan, and even Los Angeles, not much has been said, but even in certain communities, the water was tampered with. I remember days when the water come out brown. Where does this come from, you know? And then with the carcinogens, and even they say, well, we're going to add fluoride now to the water. So man has had his hand in putting things in our water that we may not be aware of. And so there's ample water. This past winter, we had so much rain here in the United States, so much snow in the United States, and there's ample water. But it goes back to Professor Reams. What is our government doing to move this water into a place where we can store it, and when it's needed, we can give it to the communities that's going to need it in case of a drought or what have you. So, you know, this is a very important topic that we all need to stay tuned into and be aware of, Pastor Eddie. So, you know, I just applaud all the panelists, Vera Jones, Alana Jones, and the great Professor Reams for educating me about this water, and thank you for bringing the topic up.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. Thank you. Yeah. Now, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I'm sorry. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for not one thing. We have to be alert. We have to be ready. We have to be, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So with that being said, Virgil said two very important things. Thank you, Brother Virgil Johnson, Susan Miller Dorsey High School alumni, friend and associate, right on. Well, first he said, I see people watering cement in front of their buildings. Yes, they do. People are using a lot of water for, you know, matter of fact, and where I'm at, if they catch you using water, like watering your lawn on certain days, like you can water your lawn on certain days and certain days you can't water your lawn. Believe it or not, they're controlling, the city is controlling when you can and when you cannot water your lawn almost. And then he also said, find a way to capture all this snow in the states where there is lots of, we need to capture that water. Well, I guess the water coming from the Alps and, you know, they bottle and they make Fiji water and all these different waters that they say comes from the mountains, spring water, you know, but they still put stuff in it. We don't know what they put in it to preserve it, but they do. But that's a good point, Virgil. I agree with you 100%. We do need to catch that water coming down off the mountains and all the snow. And with that being said, there should be plenty of water. But, we have a caller. We have two callers. Let's see, call her in the 310-977 area code. Did you want to say something? Good morning. How are you? Good morning, caller in the 310-977. Did you want to share? Okay, let's put them back on hold. And then we have the caller in, I see a hand there. Caller in the 323-320. Are you there? Would you like to say something this morning? Good morning. Welcome to the show. Caller in the 323-320 area code. Are you there? Okay.
I am here.
Oh, my gosh. Good
morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the show. How you doing, brother?
Good morning. I had no idea I was calling into the show. I was calling in to listen, but good morning. I say good morning to all of your hosts and co-hosts. God bless you all. You are doing a terrific job, a magnificent job, bringing information to the local and to worldwide, nationwide. We need this information, and you all are doing a great job for whoever makes the time to listen. You can get it.
Wow. I want everyone to please say good morning to my brother, Eric Jones. Please say good morning to Eric Jones, everybody.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Good morning, Eric.
Good hearing and seeing you. Yes.
Good morning to the entire staff. I won't go name by name, but you know your names and you know what you do. And I've seen you in action before. I've been listening to you in action every day when I can. And today is another great day to be tuned in to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where you can get all the information you don't get. And this is the place where you can get it. All you have to do is tune in and pay attention and have your ears clicked on and listening wide.
And Eric First Lady Felita Wiltz and her husband, Pastor Charles, they both said good morning also too. And people on Facebook and on Instagram say good morning as well. Eric, would you like to weigh in on our water topic? What do you feel? I mean, just we'd like to get your opinion since we have you here on the show and we're grateful to have you on. Go right ahead. Share your opinion on the water crisis.
Okay, I'll try and get to the point and short and simple. Reserve, conserve, do not waste. Water is the most important liquid on earth. Without it, you cannot survive. So before you waste it, you need to realize the importance of why it is here and why you need it to survive. Water.
Wow. Wow, well, let's give him a hand for that one, you guys.
Excellent.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. That was wonderful. Now, I want to send a shout-out to your fiancée, Shirley. We want to send a prayer for you and Shirley and a shout-out to you and your fiancée, Shirley. Is there anything, I mean, would she like to say something or – or go right ahead, or would you like to give us your closing remarks, Brother Eric?
My heart goes out to the family of the young woman who was said to have ended her own life or hung herself or however it was stated. My heart goes out. It is not right. It is so wrong. As you said, the body does not believe in, the life does not believe in taking its own life. I don't know what's beneath that, but my heart goes out, my prayers are out to the family. And
Amen.
We pray for justice in that matter. And in closing, I just want to thank you for the opportunity, for allowing me to have a moment to speak. That was not my direction. I was just calling you to listen, but you have me here and I'm speaking, so I thank you for that, for the platform. And everyone have a blessed, righteous day. And as one of my great uncles would always say, you will discover at one point or another a drill that you must face. What is
wow.
the drill?
That's right. That sounds like Uncle Harold.
That's right.
So I will say welcome back to the country to my sister, and let's keep rocking and rolling and keep this show moving at its greatest heights.
Thank you so much, Eric. And one more time, let's all give Eric a big hand. Eric and Shirley, let's give them a big hand.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And with that being said, now, Eric, you don't go anywhere. We're going to put you back on hold and, you know, stay right there and continue to listen to the show, you and Shirley, and God bless you guys. Our next topic is a very, very important topic because a lot of people is wondering what's going on with the United States of America. I mean, we're being challenged by China. We're being challenged by Russia. We're being challenged by, and there's a war going on in Israel right now. For some reason, every time Israel gets into it, we get into it. We're involved in so much stuff, but we got a lot going on at home that we need to take care of at home. So our next topic and our next subject matter, and I'm going to close out on the water, but first I want to read it. Our next topic is, what is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? And I want you to think about this really hard. What is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? And let me close out on the water thing. All I can say is save your water, preserve your water, check your water. Make sure you have water because you can go days without food, but you cannot go days without water. You can go days without food, but you cannot go days without water. Marcia, welcome to the show. It's an honor and a pleasure that you're here with us. God bless you. I hope you stay with us for a while and enjoy the show. And you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights because we all have rights. And praise God. We're going to do the commentary a little bit early today. We're probably going to do the commentary somewhere like around 10:30 a.m. today just because, you know, the professor has some prior engagements, and we will be looking forward to getting the sports report, mental health and you, health and wellness, poetry and motion, regulate the manual, and the commentary. And don't forget, Words of Wisdom by Tawana Jones, my daughter, my eldest daughter. So with that being said, the topic is, what is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? Now, everybody knows that President Joe Biden has been falling down. He's been missing steps. He's been, made quotes that were inappropriate quotes, not what he read on his teleprompter, just something he said, and they had to go back and fix it. And he's getting older. He's in his 80s, and, you know, a lot of people are saying that he just – needs to go ahead on and let the – they're working on, I believe, making the vice president president of the United States and then bringing in someone like Michelle Obama as either the president or Kamala Harris as the vice president and Michelle Obama as the president. But they're working on putting some women in the White House right now. Now, here's what they say that President Joe Biden is doing right now for the United States of America. President Biden will take steps to restore America's standing in the world. Now, you know we have a recession coming. Strengthening the United States national security workforce, rebuilding democratic alliances across the globe, campaigning America's values and human rights, and equipping the American middle class to succeed in global economy. Now, this is what they say that he's doing. They say that this is what that President Biden is doing. But I want to know that I'm not the only one who's seen President Biden fall down. President Biden put the ribbon around the guy's neck, and he actually left the room. Now, normally the president stays there the whole time. When you award somebody with a ribbon, you normally stay there throughout the whole ceremony. He did not. He's been stumbling on his words, stumbling. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I respect him as the president of the United States. But I wonder, is he healthy and strong enough to deal with the problems of the world? Because the United States, we take care of a lot of situations around the world. And this is not you can't sleep on this job. You can't even blink your eyes barely on this job. This is a very serious job. With that being said, I want to bring to our floor none other than our professor, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor opening our topic, our second topic. What is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? Go right ahead, Professor Reams.
Well, I'll start with a wonderful point of this, but one thing about it is that, yes, there's the issue of age and there's the issue of his overall ability on some of the things and the foibles that are going on in the public space. Now, one thing about Uncle Joe is that in the private space, things are happening, because I just counted off 20 things that he's done, but I'm going to name the top ones that he's done for the future. So Pastor Jones, it first starts with you. He honored you for being the activist that you are.
Thank you. Yes, he did.
That he's done. And so how does that gear for the future? We need activists like you and everyone else that he's honoring to make sure that we know what the real deal Holyfield is, in order so that we don't make the same mistakes that would result in us leading into or falling or sliding into authoritarianism as was done with the prior administration. Now, the battle that we're having is between a democracy and authoritarians around the world, and so it's also hitting here as well. So Uncle Joe, and I lovingly call him Uncle Joe, has been at the forefront of putting that together. But now as we move forward, the Inflation Reduction Act was trying – his major focus when he began his administration was, as you've mentioned before, was trying to make sure that we move from Reaganomics into what is now being called Bidenomics. We're starting from the ground floor up, because it pretty much incensed him that in the prior America that we had, had the top folks making money while working families got squeezed. So that's why you are seeing him at the picket line at with the auto workers there, taking on the mantle, because he's from Scranton and he came from a working class family that benefited from the unions. So in strengthening that union connection with them, it means that the middle class and working class are going to have good paying jobs so that they can provide for their families and not have to worry about the trickle down theory of money kind of getting to them. No, it is being shown through the inflation or lack thereof act, but also with the 3.8 in low unemployment overall, which has not been seen since the 1970s. So here, the first thing is get people back to work, get people an income. And so his major quote is this: he believes in the United States so much that it's never good to bet against America. So what he believes is that the greatest thing that we can do is to invest in the ingenuity of the American people. So what has he done? So now that you got money in your pocket, now let's be quite blunt, folks. Each state is different. So anytime we get something from the federal government, your state is going to eat it up. California is the most expensive state, so even if we get a return, we're still going to be paying more in gas and on oil prices, because we have added in purification into our oil so we have clean air, which costs more. In another state, it would be a lot less. So the next thing is that we're making sure that people have more in America, because he put in a $300 billion manufacturing investment bill, which will allow us to bring our jobs back to the United States. So that supply chain situation will never happen again, because we have chip technology, and this is technology that's for the future, so that we're not dependent on China to make those chips. So in doing that structure, when it comes back here, it means that all across the nation, manufacturing industry and buildings are going to have to be put together to create this new technology, which, again, creates good-paying, union-protected jobs, and also jobs for people who don't have a degree. Okay, so now more money in the pocket. We took care of the pandemic, even though we have a structure that now works with it. If another pandemic comes up, it won't hit us by surprise. We're ready. You know, it's better to stay ready than to get ready. So at least that's there. So in case that something else comes up, we can immediately address it. Now, that keeps us alive. Now, we talked about rebuilding the infrastructure. Let's talk about this. This has never been done before in a while. All of this structure has been crumbling. So the water issue that we just talked about is based on poor infrastructure, where states either have decided that this is too expensive to address, or they're going to, ignore it and just do a little fix it here when it gets too dangerous. Now you have the federal government investing billions of money into the full infrastructure for bridges, for reservoirs, for dams, for railroad, for roads, all of these things, and guess who has to fix them? American people. They have to now get a job to help us keep our infrastructure strong, which has been neglected. Okay. Now, when we get to a situation with health care, we already have the Affordable Care Act, which made it definitely possible for folks to get access to health care. Well, under the prior administration, they were trying to defund it. As you remember, they were trying to get rid of it. Well, now he's strengthened it so that you can get affordable health care for each of the states. Now, here's the problem. It's available, but certain states refuse to take Medicare or the Affordable Care Act and just decided that their state didn't need what the government was giving because they felt it was a handout. But once again, the 10th Amendment is great for our independence, but it's also not great when the government provides these things. And it also goes back to the old idea of what Reagan was saying about, you know, the worst words you can say is, I'm the federal government, I'm here to help. Okay, they're here to help with infrastructure. They're here to help with affordable care. They're here to help with making sure that job rates are low. And they're also bringing jobs back to the states. And many of these politicians who voted against these things are taking credit for it, even though they voted against those things. So you cannot rely on what some of the folks are saying. So we also have gun violence that he did with the bipartisan safety community. It's called the Meaningful Gun Violence Reduction Legislation, which allows us to get a handle on guns. It's not as strong as it would be, but it does give funding to mental health. It gives funding to red flag laws to help with crisis intervention. And it also helps to educate and strengthen whatever is going on in the state that will minimize people shooting each other. So it prepares our future so that we may save a few folks from dying in the future.
Wow.
So when we get to historic confirmation, the president has embraced diversity. Right now, we are in the situation where the majority is looking or saying that this is not the America I know. However, the 40% of people of color are saying, no, this is the optimistic part of America, because now we're getting into positions of power and authority so that we can have the same quality of life as was denied us in the past. So think of how many appointments that he's made to his cabinet. Ketanji Brown Jackson, to the chiefs of staff, to all walks of life, where it's reflective of a multicultural, diverse society. Okay? So, once again, this has not been done because we've been playing on the old things of where it has to be majority, it's a Christian, and yada, yada, yada. Well, the problem being is that the United States, while it has you know, based on Christian principles, it was not Christian practices it was based on. It was based on the fact that when people come here, in the First Amendment, you can have religion, whatever you believe, or not have religion is part of your belief. So in doing so, you have covered everyone from race, creed, color, religion, and sexual preference overall, which is the true face of America. Think of what happened in the prior administration, what has become isolation, and there was white supremacy flowing around. So when we think about the partnerships, he's had to strengthen the with our international allies, specifically NATO. Now, we talk about why Ukraine and all the other situations overall, but the United States, remember, was the country that emerged from World War II. It had to bring some level of stability, so it made itself taken over from Great Britain. The police officer of the world. It has rescinded back since, and instead of being the police officer, it's foreign partnerships. Well, one of that partnership is NATO. And in the prior administration, NATO was seemed like it was on the verge of falling apart. He pulled it together. Now, the reason why Ukraine is important, even though we've talked about the money situation, is that think about what would have happened had we had a coalition like this for World War II. World War II would not have happened. 30 million people would have been saved And Adolf Hitler would not have been in the history banks of the world because we had formed this coalition to address an issue which could escalate into another world war. But you can't do that unless you have a coalition, and we have wonderful servicemen in front of us on our show, Pastor Jones and Clarence Allen. So you understand the basis of why we have a military, so that we don't have to go to war, but we can defend ourselves, so you put a little fear in our enemies who want to see us fall down so that they won't mess with us. So you have a coalition that will help that in one sense or another, along with strengthening ties with the United Nations. And so with that and the historic things of the working class and all, these are just many of the things that he's done, along with climate change and dealing with the climate change bill that has been addressed, to address this issue by asking the question, can we move from fossil fuels to clean energy? Well, this means to move from clean energy, it's going to take a whole different infrastructure to do that, which is part of the infrastructure bill. But in doing so with the infrastructure bill, with the clean energy, it means that we're not dependent on petroleum and or fossil fuel, which will allow us to clean up our carbon footprint. And now you have to build up industries, labor populated by the American people, to change how we handle climate, which will change how we handle our water, which will change how we address the ecosystem as a whole. Up until this time, that has not been happening because of the fossil fuel industries trying to deny that climate change exists. And then finally, student loan debt, and this is just one of many of the 20. What had happened was that one of the billionaires had paid for all of the students of Morehouse College, or university. That meant that these young students didn't have any debt, and they could start becoming prosperous citizens, putting into the economy and built up their economy because of the fact they could buy homes, they could get their kids in school, they could do all this stuff, and from the ground floor up, build that economy that benefits them and their community. The same thing with debt forgiveness is the same thing as what's going on. If you don't have to pay back the bank, your money goes into the economy, which builds up the economy from the ground floor up. So in looking at what he has done, he has stayed true to the fact that he believes in the American people. He has identified that we have to have a strong infrastructure. We have to have a strong middle class from the ground floor up, which has built everything from the ground floor up in order for us to move into the future and stay competitive with the rest of the world. I just rattled off no more about 5 or 10 things, but there are 20 things that he's done. So I challenge everyone, also review, look this up, because the fact it's there. And for me, we're looking at a situation where we got Joe Biden, who's president, and you've also got Mick Jagger, who are both in their 80s, right? And so they're still kicking. They're still going on strong. They're doing their thing. And I would rather have this person slipping or falling or making a mistake and being this productive. And he has been as productive as LDR and also Lyndon Baines Johnson and L and FDR combined together. He's the third most productive at his seasoned age than what we've had in prior presidents since the past 10 years. So wow. I would rather have that level of competency than to have what we had just in the prior administration. Are you kidding me?
Right.
wheel him into a, if he's doing this, wheel him in into a wheelchair and keep it going, because this stuff has never or not ever been done before this quickly in only 2 years with limited resource and a bipartisan group. That's why what I tell my kids is that whoever the nominee is, you're having Biden for dinner. You're going to have Biden for lunch. You're having Biden. You will be voting for Biden. So the last is, okay, Daddy, can we have a Happy Meal? No, you're having Biden. So everyone, get in your car, come out with a voting plan, and you know what the meal is going to be. It's going to be Biden. So
Amen.
You can see that. So my And like I said, Pastor Jones, the first thing he did was to honor you, and that's it, and that makes him a Jones as well.
Amen.
So
amen.
Back to you.
Thank you so much. Let's give a big hand for Professor Jones. Yeah. Well, thank you, Professor Ames. That was quite amazing. We're going to have to get in the commentary at around like 10:30 a.m. and it's 10:15. Well, I want to welcome Sister Marcia. Thank you very much for coming on. Brother Virgil Johnson said, presidents are figureheads. Their administration and cabinets run the country. And when you become president, like when President Barack Obama was president for two terms, when he walked into that office, they had a letter sitting on the desk with all of his instructions and agendas. And some of the agendas we were happy with and some of them we weren't. We knew that it was a changing of the guards. And one of those changes that everybody was kind of very upset about was same-sex marriage, which has been a really super big topic here in the United States of America. Even in the country of Africa, where they were offered millions of dollars by the vice president, said, we don't want your money and we don't want same-sex marriage in our country. You can delegate that to somebody else, but not to us. So some of the agendas that the presidents receive when they walk into office are not always pleasing and happy-go-lucky, but they have to follow those instructions because those instructions come from the secret societies. I'll just leave that alone. But with that being said, again, I want to thank Professor Reams for sharing that very pertinent information with you. And I want to go quickly to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor. What is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? Go right ahead. Give us your take.
Well, I feel that he is now taking over because the economy is going through rough problems at this time. And as we know, he's doing a cleanup and rebuilding after T-Rump. And Professor Reams said it all.
All right. Thank you so much, Vera. We'll just give you a little hand. Thank you, Vera. Thank you. I'm going to go to Tawana Jones. Tawana Jones, please take the floor. What is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? I don't know if you guys know or not, but he gave me the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award, and I was honored beyond words to receive it, and I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm just saying it was such an honor to receive it from the President of the United States. But I want to hear from my panel with co-producer Tawana Jones, what is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
I think that he is paving the way for, I want to say, the hardworking people who are not the underdogs, the people who are not focused on, who are not looked upon. There is a hard job to be the president. And even to take an oath and to go through the presidency or the process of, you're going to hear a lot of naysayers. You're going to hear a lot of things that people might not like that you have to do, like I just heard. So you just have to give him his respect for being able to stand up and do the job. And I had to laugh it off, but I understand, like, put yourself in a wheelchair. It's like when we fall down, we don't stay down. We get back up. So we have to pray for him through his being and hope that he gives, the right people the order that they need in order for the presidency to be in the right place so that we can also be in the right place as people. I think that we also have a voice, so we need to use it. Whenever there's a problem, that's, I believe, what I've heard through our panel, is that it's time for us to also use our voice. If we don't stand up for something, we're all going to fall for anything, so we have to stop that.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. That was very nice. Thank you. Yeah. Well, with that being said, now we have to go to none other than the regulator, Clarence Imallon. Clarence Imallon, please take the floor. What is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? Go right ahead.
Yes, it's very difficult to come behind our panelists because each and every one of them has hit this subject matter right on point. We've been very well educated. You know, the president's job is one of the most difficult, and, you know, I just say it in a different way like Talana said. You know, the president has to have as many or more tentacles than an octopus to balance the weight and measures of his job and to make things best as possible equal for everybody.
Right.
He has to start from the bottom up. Well, we have seen the other administration put things and worked it from top down. You know, if you don't put a foundation on a house, it's going to slide off. It's going to fall. And so the House of America and what this president is doing for the future of America, he's doing what he can, what he's able to, what the Constitution will allow him to do, and what he can get voted in with his Congress. For me, and for people like me, and I hope that I speak for many of us that's listening to this show and those that may see it later on social media and even in the archives, I want to see this president do something for the future of reparations for the descendants of the slaves that was in this country. Because every time this subject matter comes up, another crisis has been created to push it further back on the burner. And the reparations panel is in place. They have made recommendations on what to do, and maybe I'm not hearing or listening in the right corners on the cracks of the walls, but it seems to have gone quiet. You
wow.
know, even here in the state of California, when you look at this governor, he has been given propositions to serve reparations, but even this governor has gone quiet. So the president and the governors of these states where descendants of slaves are living, they need to take care of this now like they've done the Japanese, like they've done the Israelites, like they've done the Italians, and everybody else that has been financially restituted, you know, with reparations. So I want to see the future of this president, not tomorrow, but right now, do something for the reparations for the people who have been broken and continue to be broken in this nation.
Wow. Thank you so much, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Thank you very much. I want to give him a round of applause. Thank you.
Very, very good.
Now, we have the hearts are flying everywhere. We have had some our news this morning was very interesting. Our news was very interesting and important, and we definitely want to keep this young lady in mind. It's 10:23 a.m. I want to give you, we want to keep the young lady, her name is Yolina Lubrin, L-U-B-R-I-N, 31 years old, that was found hung at somebody else's house. Hey, Cousin Sarah Jones, God bless you. You know what, Cousin Sarah Jones, I got to get one of your cakes. And also, I want to send a shout out to my wife. Good morning to my wife. God bless you. Love y'all. It's just so, you know, wonderful and amazing to see everybody here on Facebook Live and on Instagram. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us and on blogtalkradio.com. This is a civil rights talk show. It's the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. We have our co-producers and our co-hosts on the show, and they do a phenomenal, fantastic, tremendous job, and you know, keeping us up to date with up-to-date information, which we don't just talk about it. We research, read, analyze, and evaluate, and put it in perspective of what the people need to hear. And the people need to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And with that being said, we're talking about our second topic is, what is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? You heard what he's doing, and we're just going to keep him in prayer. I got a caller calling in from the 786 area code real quick. Let's get him on. Caller in the 786-714 area code. How you doing?
Good morning. This is Cousin V.
Oh, it's Cousin V. Let's give her a hand. Cousin V's here. Say good morning, Cousin V. Everybody say good morning.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Hey, Cousin V.
Hey, Cousin V.
Everybody's happy. Cousin V's here. She's going to talk about my Rams later. And college football.
Oh,
we're going to
no.
talk about Colorado and what Colorado did to Arizona later. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, Cousin V, just in a short sentence, because we got to – in 5 minutes, we got to Professor Reams had to leave early for a meeting, and so we're going to do the commentary early, so don't go anywhere. But just really quick, what is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? Just out of your own words, Cousin V, go right ahead. And, and Cousin
right
Sarah
now.
Jones, wait, I'm sorry. Cousin Sarah Jones down in Chicago, I mean down in Texas said hello, and Cousin Irma Jones in down in Chicago, they both said hello.
So, hello, everyone.
And before you get started, I want to send a big shout-out to my cousin, Brandy. I get a little choked up.
I know, right?
Her birthday just passed yesterday. It was yesterday, right?
October 5th.
October 5th. I apologize. I'm just a little nervous. But I just want to send a shout-out to my
brother. Was the 7th. Terrence was the 7th.
Happy birthday to Terrence. And then I want to say to my cousin Brandy up there in heaven, I miss your cakes and your desserts that you made so very well. Please forgive me for getting over it. It's an emotional. And I just want to give a big hand for my cousin up there in heaven. God bless you. We love you. So with that being said, Cousin V, What is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? In just a few words.
I'm really not right now trying to keep up with the politics.
Right.
Because there's so much going on, and it doesn't seem like, I mean, everybody's always at war with each other. You know, we never seen the government act like they all act right now. Like a whole lot of little kids, but the kids act better than the grown-ups to me. So right now, I just not even really trying to even be messing with the politics because I do follow it, but I really don't know what to say at the moment. We just have to keep praying, and we know that the Bible is fulfilling itself, so that's my take on it.
Amen. With that being said, okay, let's see. Wait a minute. I'm getting hits on I just want to respond to these people. Everybody's saying something. Okay, so also, too, caller in the 909-732 area code. Go right ahead. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the
Hi.
Show. Hi.
Thank
how
you.
Are you? You're welcome.
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Suzette, and I'm calling from Southern California and in the San Bernardino County area. 909. Anyway, hello, good morning, everybody. I am going through the Inflation Reduction Act, and you know how you have different government agencies that will do their cost analysis on the different presidents' bills or budgets or whatever that they claim. Because they all claim my bill or my thing is going to reduce taxes, and they all do it. But at some point or another, it ends up raising taxes on the middle class. And as far as jobs go, I'm having trouble understanding why the president has, in the Inflation Reduction Act, it mandates by 2030 that everybody be driving electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and stands on the line with the auto workers. Now, it would be my, you know, it's my opinion that the auto workers shouldn't have went on strike just because, you know, in a couple of years, their jobs are going to be obsolete. There will be some that will be required, but the auto manufacturer's big thing is when we have to start building electric vehicles, we no longer need all these people. They'll have fewer people to work. Yes, and that's not a good thing. And not only that, but the bringing companies here to manufacture chips, that's great. I'm all for that. Put people to work. We need to get our economy moving in the right direction. But the thing with that is there are rare earth minerals that are required to build those chips.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had an opportunity to purchase rare earth minerals, and we don't have enough here to actually set up a manufacturing to do it, otherwise it would have been done. Even before we hit inflation, companies that had money would have just done it. I mean, we had the tech that was here in California that had moved out, the tech guys. But there's just no way here in the United States that we have those rare earth minerals. And so we're going to have to purchase that from China anyway. So China can cut us off at any time, and that's dangerous. You know, and the Medicare drugs, lowering that. Donald Trump did that too, except for the thing with that is with Joe Biden's, and you can look up the bill itself, it says 2026, and then the negotiations can take place from there to 2029 as far as negotiating the drug prices. And I'm all for that too, because they're so expensive, you know, people will skip getting them when they need them. Just because it's either do that or I don't eat, you know, or my family doesn't eat. Because these drugs are like $100, $150 sometimes. And so with that, it's like, well, that's great, but how about right now? I don't need it like 6 years from now. I need it now. My family's like suffering now. If everything's supposed to be so great in the future, that's great, but what about now?
Well, can you tell us your name? Tell us your name again. I'm sorry.
Suzette.
Spell that, please.
S-U-Z, as in zebra, E-T-T-E.
Now,
these are just all questions that
Suzette,
I have for the president.
Suzette, you have brought some very good questions to the floor, and we're going to work on going back to our professor to get you an answer. But before we do that, we just want to give you a hand. So hold on, Suzette.
Okay.
Let's give her a big hand. Let's give Suzette a hand.
Thank you.
For calling
in. You're so kind. Take care, all. God bless.
Okay, thank you so much. Suzette, you're very welcome. Thank you. She asked some very important questions. It's 10:32. Let's take about a minute and a half to answer her question. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Let's go back. Can you answer a couple of her questions that she just asked on the floor just now? Go right ahead.
One of the problems that we have is that in the negotiations and trying to get these things through, the way the original bill was mentioned, it was these things were supposed to happen immediately from the sources I was working with. But to get these bills through, there had to be compromises that were made by the pharmaceuticals dealing with drugs and also with the other legislators that were on the Congress overall. Now, that sounds like a cop-out, but that's the unfortunate thing about government. Is the fact that once we get to this milestone, then they have the opportunity to negotiate, renegotiate in the provision of each legislation so that they will actually accept and or vote on this particular provision. So that's the problem. So it is no different than what happened with the loan forgiveness. Biden was ready to forgive all that loan immediately.
Yeah.
But then the Supreme Court stepped in and said, well, no, you can't do that. And then he had to go back and see, okay, what can I do within the law? And what can I do that will not harm the banks that have already given these loans so that they have time to adjust. Because if they do it tomorrow, then there'll be consequences for these other parties that'll have to agree to it. So, no, this is right. There are things within the bill which also have time delays, which should be happening now. But unfortunately, to get people to agree to the bills in the first place so he can get a bill in front of him to sign, every group causes that to make concessions.
Wow. I
mean, that's the bottom line. So
now,
remember, the president. Oh, go on.
I know we're in the essence of time, so but she did bring up another question, and that was a great answer. Sure. But the one that she brought up about the chip and getting some of the stuff for the chip from China or Japan, could you address that in maybe a 30-second soundbite? Because that's really important too.
Yeah, there are to make the chips, you have to have a certain amount of silicone or latinum. I can't tell which of the minerals that they're using it from because I'm not too familiar with the deep of the chips. But that is found in China and found in other places overall, which we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, is true. But one thing about it is she was in favor of having the jobs come back here, but that they could cut us off. Well, also what's going on immediately is that you've got companies and trying to figure out, is there another material or substance that we could use in place of the one that we currently have? So it is a win-win situation in one sense to where, as I mentioned, China and the United States are attached by the hip.
Right.
Okay, our economies are all together. So they're not going to lose out the Chinese on having the opportunity to get money from the U.S. to do whatever we need to do because it'll hurt their own economy. But we need to make sure that we take care of our own people by having it manufactured here so that we have the jobs. This is where the politics comes through because then what is the other alternative? You just give the chips. You know, have China to give the chips back, or do we have an opportunity to manufacture and then do some innovation to come up with something different that will allow us to still get to the same goal? So it's not the best solution, but the best thing is that at least you now have a structure in place to do more research and development to find an alternative for now that will get us there eventually.
All right. Well, wow. In the essence of time, thank you so very much. We have a caller in the 323-528 area code. Hold that thought, Professor Reams. That was really great, Professor Reams. Thank you so much. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. Hold that thought. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. Let's go to the caller. Caller in the 323-528 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 323-528 area code. Are you there? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. They just want to listen. With that being said, okay, our topic was, what is President Joe Biden doing for the future of America? I'm getting ready to give you the word of the week, and I'm going to give you the scripture of the week right now. And I want you to get your pen and paper out, and I want you to write it down. Our word of the week and our scripture of the week. The word of the week, and it's 10:38 a.m. on this beautiful October the 9th, 2023. Our word of the week is gallant. You could use that in a sentence. I was gallant as I became the president of the United States of America. that is our word of the week, gallant, and you can make it applicable to your week and use gallant in a sentence that is applying, that will apply for you. How gallant was this young man who came and got a doctorate's degree? He gallantly received a doctorate and is moving on with his life in bigger and better areas of his life. Our scripture of the week is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. You know, you need to know that you know that we serve a mighty God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. This is the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We're getting ready to go to the commentary in just a few minutes. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to have a writer and an author on our show, and her name is Audrey Gray. Audrey Gray, and this is her book right here. This is her book for those, and she's going to be on our show, The Dark Secrets That Cry Out. That's the name of her book, The Dark Secrets That Cry Out. And she's going to talk about some things that everybody, you don't want to miss this. She's going to be on our show soon. But on the 17th, that's right, I'm going to show you a copy of the book one more time. I'm reading the book as we speak because we're going to have her on the show, and she's going to talk about her book, The Dark Secrets That Cry Out. And so we're looking forward to having her on the show in the upcoming weeks ahead. Also on our show, we're going to have a fine gentleman. Matter of fact, our next show on the 17th, on Monday of the 17th of October 17th, we're going to have Julian Cascente serve as president and CEO of the California Hispanic Chambers of Commerce. Through his network, over 80 Hispanic chambers and business associations, the CHCC is leading voice on issues impacting business in California. The mission of the CHOCC is to foster economic growth, creating and sustaining prosperity, benefiting California's economy and communities. He will be on our show next Monday. So please, 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 you don't want to miss these interviews. These are going to be some super duper interviews coming up, and I'm letting you know now, it's going to get deep. And we're going to be talking about, when we're talking about the California Hispanic Chambers of Commerce, we're talking about jobs, economics, and a whole lot of other things, okay? So you don't want to miss that. But without further ado, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. It's 10:41 a.m. Let's go to Professor Reams, and then we're going to get everybody in. But let's go to Professor Reams right now with the commentary. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, everyone, and thank you for accommodating this interesting schedule, because as we speak, what I'm going to be doing is trying to help the university continue into the future by making sure that everything that we've accredited for being an anti-racist institution, is maintained so that our future is given a good foundation. So thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me this wonderful time. And, of course, with the way that our prophet's corner, the regulator, works, he would have given us the haunted soul brother and one of the monster that's happened. So we want to take a look at the monster of this issue going on with Yolina Lubrin, because mm-hmm. that's one of the monsters that we're dealing with, because of the fact that there is corruption, there is the death, there is all of these issues that are going on in Orlando. And as I mentioned earlier, what happened in the past in Orlando is, but possibly my hope is that this time we'll find out what is going on in that state or in that area that is causing all of this issues and so many of the problems. So at least we have a note on what we're going to be following as we talked about the hanging of Yolina Lubrin. The water we talked about as well, that's another monster, but it's not a monster where it's water's fault. It is the structure and access to water which has been an issue, which will be planking us. And that might deal with greed as another monster, or avarice, or even hate, or even racism on how the access of water is going to be distributed. And then, of course, we have the final discussion of Joe Biden, what he's done. And as we've mentioned, I'll go into that. We'll start first with that. Now, let's remember something. The presidency, as we've all said, is a very difficult job. He oversees everything. He does all that can be done. Now, each of the presidents that have stated over the years have brought something new that's pushed us a little forward into the right direction. This is no different than anything else. Because one thing about it is that where there is no structure, then we try to build in a structure, or we try to add in new laws, or even we try to change new laws. We still have to remember that we're in a democracy where we're into compromising, and that we are a connected economy where if I affect or touch the manufacturer, but the manufacturer will hit another person who will hit another person who will hit another person, so that it's going to be messy, it's going to be destructive. So any change that I make, I've got to be responsible enough and be able to compromise so that whatever new system we have, we do it together and we move together at the same time. Now, that's the same thing that we have in our whole system, but then that's also how the good Lord sees things because, as I mentioned, we are using Christian practices for this country. So similar to the president, similar to us, God believes in us to do the right thing because he's given us everything. And in doing so, it means that we have to compromise when it comes down to things. It means that there are things that we're not going to like, but that we're going to have to accept. There's people that we're going to have to work with that we don't like. All these other things are part of it. But as long as in the whole that we do it together so we can move forward in the right direction. And that's all that can happen between each of these administrations is that the good Lord places us somewhere, and then it lets it happen organically. We did talk about some of the challenges that we have, especially with dealing with the labor strikes and overall, but that's just another issue where it's a symptom of what we haven't done, just like our infrastructure that we haven't fixed, which needs to be addressed. So
right.
the good thing that comes up is that everything that we're seeing here is very, very gallant in our wonderful word, because if the person and or whoever is showing no fear of danger or difficulty with things because this is the thing that must be done in order for us to thrive. And the one thing that I want to challenge everyone to do is to do your homework and find out where you get your water from. Also to consider the alternatives that you have for water conservation, as well as for your lawns, for your health, for all of these things overall, as the panel has shared. Because in that way, when you know where your water's coming from, then you will take an active role in protecting yourself, but also being part of the program. The other thing that I'll say is, as I've said before, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So right now we have a situation where in the prior administration, we were almost on the menu every day of despair. But now we are in an active situation where me, my colleagues, and all across the nation are funding campaigns so that we can maintain our democracy as opposed to moving into authoritarianism. So when we're thinking about what the president does and what we all do, we need to be connected in order to move it forward to get to those jewels that the good Lord has for us. But we have to be good stewards and address those things that we are responsible for. Good clean water, good piping, good structure, good foundation, good jobs for people to work with, respect. And from that, the fighting tends to go down because you have money in your pocket, you have respect, you have love, and you have your wonderful, wonderful family to back you. But you can't get here or get there until you do the hard work that needs to be done. So that's why I am begging all of you, get involved in the process. Don't be on the menu. Be at the table so that this experiment of the United States can still move forward. So you may not like everything that the president does, but at least you have the right through your vote and through your activities and through your activism, as Pastor Jones has each week shows his example of how to be a good activist to make changes that benefit everybody. When we do that together, then you can sit back, relax, and say you've done everything, get your well done, but then also feel that you were gallant in the way that you did things because you were showing no fear of danger or difficult things. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow, man, that was amazing. Thank you.
And a wonderful shout-out to Eric Jones and to Suzette, our caller, for bringing up those issues.
Wow, thank you so very much. Professor Reams, that was an amazing, amazing commentary. With that being said, we know you got to go, Professor Reams. We wish you the best in that meeting right there that you're going to, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you for being the professor that you are. Everybody say have a good day to Professor Reams before he goes.
Have a wonderful day, Professor Reams. I love you all, and you have a blessed rest of the day.
Love you, too. Thank you so much. With that being said, we're not going to waste any time. It's time for some health and wellness. With our none other than Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V. Take the floor. It's 10:49 a.m. give us health and wellness. Go right ahead.
Okay, Eddie, thank you. So I have a disclaimer before I begin. My disclaimer is I am not a doctor. However, on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, I am Dr. Granny V. So today I would like to share with you the benefits of pumpkin and how to use. And as we know it, it is now autumn season. So you may have noticed when you're out and about, there is pumpkin everything, pumpkin ice cream, latte, pumpkin pie, muffins, coffee, and some. So pumpkin you can also add to your smoothie. You can make a juice from the pumpkin or oatmeal. Now let's speak about the uses. Now many use the pumpkin as decoration or as a jack-o'-lantern, and it is actually a fruit. Did you know that pumpkin is a fruit? Well, yes, it is. It begins from a flower, and it also includes seeds, so that's what makes it a fruit. And it is a winter squash. It's usually orange, but sometimes you may have a pumpkin that is yellow or white. And they're usually round, but somehow they may come in different shapes and different sizes. Pumpkin is also a gourd. And now let's speak about why we should eat pumpkin. Pumpkin is a superfood. It's a great antioxidant. It has fiber, and it's loaded with potassium. Now, pumpkin is great to regulate and help lower your blood pressure as well. It contains vitamin C, and it aids in risk of cancer. Now, pumpkin is also a great gut health food. Now, it aids in type 2 diabetes as well. And as we know, it is very healthy for our skin. And in reference to diabetes, it is really extremely important to help keep your blood sugar regulated. And it may have a high glycemic index at 75. However, it has a low glycemic load at just 3. So I just wanted to go there. So we can also take parts of the pumpkin and use that. So I enjoy scooping out the seeds, and I like to make my own pumpkin seeds. But it's really important for you to remove the pulp, wash, soak them, and then season them according to your liking. Now, you can cook the pumpkin seeds for 15 to 20 minutes at 350 degrees, and that makes them, by soaking them great, makes them easier to digest since you're not purchasing them from the store. Now, pumpkin seeds are loaded with phosphorus, and which is great for our tissue and cells. It's loaded with different vitamins and minerals. It has vitamin K, magnesium, high in iron, tryptophan, serotonin, dopamine, and as we know, that's great for our anxiety and stress levels. So make sure you try and keep some in your car or when you're at work and snack on some pumpkin seeds. Now, it also includes psyllium, which is great for hair growth, and it includes beta carotene. Now let's speak about a couple of things that it really helps with. Now, it's a healthy fat, the pumpkin seed, and it's great to prevent kidney stones. Liver function, it aids in good cholesterol, and as I mentioned earlier, it has vitamin K, and it's great for our bones. It can help lower our blood pressure as well, and it's a great anti-inflammatory. Now, ladies, let me tell you, now try and snack on some because it's great to support your estrogen levels. It helps balance your hormones, menopausal symptoms, and men, let me tell you, it's great for your prostate and because it has zinc, and it's great for testosterone. And better yet, it is best for erectile dysfunction and fertility for both men and women. Now, the side effects may be it may cause your throat to itch. You may become allergic or have eczema. And it is not recommended for nursing or pregnant women. And last but not least is you can also make your very own pumpkin seed oil. Now, you can use a carrier oil along with that, and it's great for our skin and omega-3. So do your research
And why don't you try and use pumpkin this autumn season? Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's give a big hand for Dr. Granny V.
Welcome back to you.
Wow, thank you so much, Vera. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. With that being said, we're going to go right to Words of Wisdom. Following Words of Wisdom, we're going to go to the Sports Report. And last but not least, we're going to save the best for last, probably the haunted soul brother with the regulator, Clarence M. Allen. So don't go anywhere. Talana Jones, please take the floor. Give us Words of Wisdom.
Thanks, Dad. And good morning again, everyone. Welcome to Words of Wisdom. Today's Words of Wisdom is just in honor of what I heard today, and I want to also send my blessings and prayers again to Miss Yolanda, and I pray that her family all be comforted right now during this time. My Words of Wisdom read, "The glance reveals what the gaze obscures. Remember to life that there are many different views. We must learn to work together to find what positive things can develop from teaching each other new discoveries." And I love what Professor Rain says, well, I had to say this again. Don't be on the menu, be at the table. Use your voice. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much, Solana. Let's give a big hand for Solana.
Amen.
Thank you, Talana. That was some really wonderful words of wisdom. It is 10:56 a.m. Our show normally ends at 11. Hopefully, we won't have to go over, but if we do, we will go over because I want you to get all of this. Without further ado, it's time for the sports report for all you sports enthusiasts. Cousin V, please take the floor. Give us the sports report.
Well, I just want to say hats off to my Paul. Today is his birthday, also October the 9th, and tomorrow is my first grandson, Brandon's son. He will be turning 4, so tomorrow is Jerry's birthday. And then we want to say a prayer for my son, Randy Jr. He's traveling right now as we talk from Texas back to Arizona. So we want to say a prayer for him that he has a safe trip. We want to also at the 5 seconds, remember Dick Butt because he died at 80 years old. He was an NFL player, and he was one of the most highly praised players, I think, for Chicago. I'm not sure because I didn't really look it up, but I just remember him growing up and watching him play football. We want to say... In the WNBA Finals right now, it is the Las Vegas Aces versus the New York Liberty. The Aces took a 1-0 lead with a 17-point win in Game 1 on this past weekend. Also, we want to say a shout-out to Simone Biles. She does it again. She wins her 20th World Championship gold medal as the U.S. Women's Gymnastics team takes their 7th successive title, and on the podium, the first all-black world all-around podium with Simone Biles, Rebecca Andrade, and Shalice Jones, and that is for the Gymnastics Worlds 2023, so hats off to you ladies. The hockey. The boys are back on the ice. The NBA, the guys are back on the court. So right now it's preseason. They do have fantasy also. So if you want to do any more fantasy, I'm doing fantasy football for the NFL, but that's because that's my favorite sport. So I'm doing fantasy for that. They have also right now we're in the postseason, and we also have the Major League Baseball. They're buying for the World Series right now. And then we have our college football. I don't have the high school this week, but I do have the college. There were some upsets, and they were basketball scores. versus baseball scores. So we had Georgia beat Kentucky 51-13, and then we had Michigan beat Minnesota 52-10. Oklahoma beat Texas by 4 points in the last few minutes, 34-30. Ohio State over Maryland 37-17. Florida State over Virginia Tech 39-17. And Arizona and USC was right there close together, but USC pulled it off 43-41. Louisville beat Notre Dame 33-20. Alabama beat Texas A&M. And I did get to see that game. That was a good game at the end. It was 26-20. And then we had Washington and UCLA. UCLA also won. So your California teams are out there doing their thing. Syracuse did lose to North Carolina 40-7. Oregon State beat California or Cal State 52-40. Ole Miss beat Arkansas 27-20. Georgia Tech came and beat Miami at home, just down the street from me, 23-20. LSU over Mississippi, Missouri, 49-39. And then we had 24-19 Fresno State, which is another California team. They lost to Wyoming 24-19. I know you were talking about, you have the scores for Colorado. You can shout that out because in the essence of looking up, I have so much sports, and I always start from, like, right now after we get off the show, I'm already doing sports for next week because there's so much that comes up. It's amazing. Thank God for sports. So with that being said, the NFL scoreboard. Tonight it will be Clarence's Las Vegas Raiders against the Green Bay Packers at 8:15. It can be seen on ABC and ESPN, and that will be Eastern Standard Time. And it is being played in Las Vegas, so if anybody want to hop on the bus and get to Vegas and watch that game. Then we have the Commanders on last Thursday, October 5th, which was Brandy's birthday. The Chicago Bears beat the Commanders 40-20. Then on yesterday, we have the Jaguars over the Bills 25-20. The Texans lost by 2 points to the Falcons, and that was 21-19. The Panthers lost to the Lions 42-24. And if you look at that, that's backwards and forwards, 42-24. That's amazing. And some of these scores, and God loves numbers, too. God is amazing. He likes numbers. The Colts beat the Titans 23-16. My Dolphins, my Miami Dolphins beat the Giants at home 31-16. And they are 4-1 on the season. The Saints, they set out the New England Patriots 34-0. The Steelers beat the Ravens 17-10. The Rams, they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. We know Eagles fly and they soar, but I know you'll be okay with that because you like Eagles too, but maybe not the NFL. And they beat the Rams 23-14. And then the Bengals beat the Cardinals 34-20. The Chiefs beat the Vikings 27-20. And then at last night, Sunday night football, the 49ers defeated the Cowboys really bad, 42-10. Our bye teams this week will be the Cleveland Browns, the L.A. Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is my sports report, and y'all have a blessed week.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Let's give a big hand.
All right, Kevin Reed.
Now, the reason why the sports report was so wonderful is because Cousin V does it every week, and she gives us all the sports report. But I had to save the Haunted Soul Brother for last, because if you don't know about Regulate the Manual with the Haunted Soul Brother, you're going to find out right now. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor and take your time. We're going to go into Regulate the Manual with the Haunted Soul, brother, for this Halloween. Go ahead, Clarence, take the floor.
As the night came, a cloudy mist slowly started to develop and turn into a haze of fog over the far side of the park. Just behind the infield where the main baseball field was located, the haze gradually began to swell and grow into a mystic fog. When I noticed the fog grew in size and intensified in thickness, this was when I remembered last Friday night. Out of some sort of curiosity, I seemed to be lured over to the fog through what appeared to be like hypnosis. Football practice ended, and everyone at their own leisure started to make their way out of the park. The fog was growing in size and thickness behind the baseball field, and it was spreading across the park. Coolness of the night. The temperature in the area of the fog was much colder as the fog came closer. It was now chilly and getting colder outside. The park lights shut off and everyone was gone. Unaware of what I was doing, I felt as if I was floating in my mind in some sort of trance as I headed toward the area of the fog. The closer I came to the thick of the fog, the colder the temperature felt. It felt eerie and quiet, as if the cloud of fog sounded like it was creating its own quiet sound and aura. There I was back in the area of the fog on the baseball infield. That had me frightened and scared the living daylights out of me just a few nights ago. I strained my eyes to see as best as I could through the cloud of fog. It was difficult to breathe. I could barely see my own hand waving in front of my face. As a couple of seconds passed by, I think no. I believe that it looked like something was moving low on the ground. I didn't know, but it looked like something without a form was coming from out of the ground. Gradually, as the thickness of fog rose up, it started to assemble slowly into a circular motion, like in a dancing rhythm, forming into its own being. There were slight noises, an unfamiliar noise coming from the area like I never heard before. My heart started pounding, and I was unable to catch my breath. I stumbled and caught off balance while running as fast as I could home. What was going on with me? Was I tripping and seeing something that was not really there? Was it just the Halloween season? That's the Haunted Soul, brother. It don't get no better than this. As he walks every night, and he strengthens himself each night, only in the month of October.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Clarence.
Great, Clarence.
I'm seeing you. Haunted Soul, brother.
That's a new call.
Soul, brother. Wow. Well, thank you so much for that, Brother Clarence. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. And we just thank you right now, Brother Clarence, for bringing that to us. That was really good, wasn't it, y'all? If you enjoyed the show, just clap your hands or put a heart up or something if you enjoyed our show today. If you enjoyed the show. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to thank everybody for joining us, no matter where you were. And I want to give a big hand to our panels. But right now, I want to give a big hand to all of our listeners. Thank you guys for listening in on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. And let's see there. We got to get that. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Felita. Thank you, Humble 37. Thank you, Brother Terrence. All the people on the show. I appreciate you guys, Cousin V, everybody. But I want to say something to you before you go. There's three things I want to tell you before you go. Number one, the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. Number two, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. And number three, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Because if you do, people will steal your joy. Hallelujah. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. In memory of family members, loved ones, and the young lady that they found hung in Florida. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. God bless you. God keep you. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I hope you guys have a wonderful, beautiful week. Whatever you do, you know that God is here for you and he won't never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. God bless you.